Here in California, we are part of what's called the Western District of Foursquare Churches. Across America, there's over 1,500 Foursquare Churches. Didn't know if you knew that. Around the world, what Joel is part of, there's over 70,000 Foursquare Churches around the world. So we're just kind of in America. We're like just a small part of that. But man, the Western District is rich, over 400 churches throughout California and then into the Southwest states joining us in the Western District. And we have a great supervisor. I was with him yesterday. His name is Mark Slomka. We love the leadership that God has provided. But under Mark, we have a handful of associate supervisors. These are men and women who serve our churches, who serve us. We're so grateful that today, that Pastor Tim Russell is here in the house with us. He's just a little bit younger than me, so I'm 1 Timothy, this is 2 Timothy. And man, we are going to be blessed by having one of our Foursquare leaders in the house with us today. The word that God has put in his heart for us is good and rich. So can you like welcome my friend, Pastor Tim? Come on, bro.
Praise God, praise God. That was a good introduction. I don't know if I can live up to it, but we'll try. We'll try. Praise God to you, Pastor Tim and Kelly. You all are doing a great work here, and I was able to walk the block with you yesterday and see the work that God is doing. And the great thing that I saw was people coming up to you, remembering young kids, remembering the impact that you had on them. You didn't have to take me to them and say, hey, this person, we did this for this one. They were running up to you and they were saying, are you those Pat? I remember what you did and you did this. And you all were so excited. So pray, let's give them a hand for their work. All right, let's lift our Bibles in the air or your holy Androids or holy iPhones or whatever it is. And I'm going to tell the iPhone users, you leave the Android users alone. Leave them alone in the name of Jesus. Look at this. This is how we fight our battles right here. This is how we fight our battles. Say this with me. Say, thy word have I hid in my heart, that I might not sin against thee. Father, thank you for your word. Your word that is a lamp unto our feet and light into our pathway. Your word that gives us clarity on where we're at and where you're taking us. Thank you for your word. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Praise God. Well, I'm just a simple Bible preacher. All I got is the word of God. I don't have too much more. Amen. I came home from college all excited because I had big words. I knew some big words, and I went to college to play college football, but I learned some big words. So I came back to, you know, where I grew up, and I walked in and started using those big words on my mom. And my mom was about 4'11", but she clearly told me I'm a little piece of leather, but I'm well put together. But she spoke to me. She said, Tim, I know you went to college and you think you're all that in a bag of chips. I know that you've learned some things, but your learning cannot supersede your calling. And I didn't understand what she was saying. She said, let me help you understand it because you're not that smart. She said, God has called you to speak life and hope to the unseen, the underserved, and under-resourced. God's going to place you in communities and place you in places that a lot of people don't want to go into because there's no glamour or glitz. So the words you're trying to use are not words that will reach them. She said, use the word of God. If it's not in the word, don't use it. I walked out the room throwing a big word at her, matriculate. Yeah. Thank God for moms. Open your Bibles to Hebrews 11 and 6. I'm going to use one scripture today, and this is what we're going to do. We're going to read a scripture. I'm going to give you the definition God gave me about faith, and then we're going to tie in a powerful story in the Bible that's going to bring it all together. Is that all right?
Yes.
So look what Hebrews 11 and 6 says. It says, but without faith, it is impossible to please him. Or I'm reading from the Amplified Version. Here's a definition when it talks about pleasing him. To walk with God. All I want is the presence of God. I don't want anything else. You can have the whole world. I'll take Jesus for mine. I want his presence, because in the presence of God is the fullness of joy. I want his joy that's unspeakable and full of glory. I want his peace that surpasses all understanding. And I understand through the scripture, look what it says, without faith it's impossible to walk with him. Without faith then it's impossible to experience the presence of the Almighty God. Somebody say Almighty. See, you got to get that in your spirit, because Almighty means he's bigger than your trial. He's bigger than your situation. He's bigger than anything that you can ever go through. He is bigger than your issue. He is bigger than your problem. Yes, we all got problems, but we serve the Almighty God. And guess what? The Almighty God is for you and not against you. Oh, let me say it again. The Almighty God is for you and not against you. So look what he says here. Without faith, it's impossible to walk with or have fellowship with this Almighty God we serve. For whoever comes to God, the Almighty God, must. Somebody say must.
Must.
See, this is not, this is a definite thing. This is not something that you can, you must believe that God exists. All right? Receive that. God exists and that he rewards. All right? He exists and he rewards. He exists and he rewards. He exists and he rewards. Look at this. He rewards those, look at this, who earnestly and diligently seek him. Without faith, I cannot serve him well. Without faith, I miss out on the reward that comes by seeking his face. The Lord gave me a definition about dynamic faith. Dynamic faith. It was like he just woke me up in the middle of the night, Pastor Kelly, and said, dynamic faith. I said, what is dynamic faith? And he helped me understand what it was. Dynamic faith is this. Dynamic faith is faith that trusts in God's word or his truth. Now, God had to take me on a journey to really help me understand what truth meant, or his word, and how I had to place his truth on top of my truth. See, the one thing that we do in church a lot of times is we try to make people feel like what they're going through isn't real. I want to let you know what you have gone through, what you've experienced, what you're going through right now is real. It's a reality, but there's another reality that you can put on top of your reality. At 12 years old, I'm this nerdy kid. I know I'm as cool as the other side of the pillow now. But at 12 years old, I'm this nerdy kid. My dad is like almost like a bishop in the church, that denomination that we're in. My mom is like the black Mother Teresa. And I'm this nerdy kid. I don't have a care in the world. I don't care about nothing. There's food in the refrigerator. There's a bed to sleep in. I got my room. My sisters have their room. We're just living good. My dad is retired military. My mom didn't have to work. He's an accountant. He's bivocational. He's a pastor. It just, life is good. At 12 years old, I walk into the house coming home from a baseball game, and my dad is packing up his stuff, getting ready to leave. Now, you got to understand, my dad was my hero. I wanted to be just like him. I wanted to walk like him. I wanted to dress like him. I opened up his closet one time and I saw how he had the shirts hung and the suits and the pants and the shoes. And I saw how the cufflinks and everything was set up. And I was like, I see heaven. To this day, my shirts and my suits and my pants, and I just drive people crazy. Who put this wire hanger in my closet? No, this is it. I walk in at 12 years old and my dad is packing up. I believe him so much. He's my dad. He's my hero. Everything that comes out of his mouth, I want everybody to catch this, especially the men. Everything that came out of his mouth, I believed him because he's my dad. He's my hero. And he says to me these words. He says, Tim, me and your mom are having issues. We're having problems. And I didn't know you were coming home. I was trying to do all of this before the kids got home. And I didn't want you guys to see this, but I'm packing up and I'm going to leave. And I want you to understand something. Me and your mom, we'll work it out. We'll work it out and I'll be back. And at this time, I'm getting pretty good in sports. I'm getting pretty good, so I need my dad around because he was an athlete. I need him to show me the ropes and I need him to help me. So he says, Tim, I promise I'll be back. By the time you hit high school or your next school grade, you, me, and your mom will have worked this out and I will be back. I promise you. I said, all right, Dad. I don't have no reason not to believe him. I have no reason not to trust him. My hero, the person I looked up to, is talking to me and telling me that he will be back. I even waved at him as he was driving away. All right, Dad. See you when you get back. About 2 hours later, my mom comes home with one of my sisters. One thing about women, they can tell when something's wrong right away. She walked in the house, and I saw her eyes go left to right. She looked at me. She said, Timmy, where's your dad? Not knowing any better, I just began to say, oh, Mom, Dad said this, and Dad said that, and Dad said this, and he said he'll be back as you guys work it out. And she looked at me, and I saw the pain begin to grip her face, and she said these words, you let him leave? And it was in that moment that I realized I did something to my mom, or I did something that I shouldn't have done. I didn't know what I should have done, but I knew I did something that hurt her. She went into the bathroom and got on the phone and cried out to her friends. The pain that was in her voice pierced my heart because she knew something I didn't know. She knew he was never coming back. Because he never came back, I never trusted. I built walls in my life. I was going to do you before you did me. I didn't know what trust was. I didn't know how to give myself. I ran away from every relationship at the first sign of trouble. I didn't know how to receive friendship from a man or receive love from a man. If someone said, hey, Tim, God's calling me in your life, I would reject him. I knew how to receive a mother's love. I knew how to receive nurturing love, but I didn't know how to receive covering love. I was angry all the time. I was fighting all the time. I was making bad decisions from my pain. From my rejection, because I didn't see my dad as leaving my mom and the family. I saw my dad as leaving me, rejecting me, abandoning me, making me feel like I was not worth staying for. So it affected me, and I lived in that reality. I lived in that truth. And then one day God says, I want you to put my truth on top of your truth. I didn't know how to do that. I didn't want to do it because I had built my life around rejection and abandonment. I had built my life around this thing that I was comfortable in. I was comfortable not letting people get too close to me. I was safe in that place. I was safe being isolated and to myself. I didn't need you. And God said to me one day, you need me. You need me. I have a purpose for your life. And the scripture is true when it says this. Before the foundations of the world, he knew you. He had fellowship with you. He loved on you. He cared for you. He literally purposed in your life. As a matter of fact, when people say, how old are you, Tim? I say, I'm as old as God is. They said, what do you mean? You're as old as God is. I said, I'm as old as God is. I'm 55, I'll be 55 earthly, but before the foundations of the world, I was in his thoughts. So one day he decided to bring my mom and dad together because he wanted his thought on earth. Oh, don't let nobody tell you you're nobody. You need to go home today and say, I'm the very thought of God. You need to look in the mirror and say, I thought I was nobody, but I'm the very thought of God. I'm the thought of God walking around earth. I'm the thought of God. And you need to stop hanging around people that don't see you for who you are. You are who God says you are. Woo! I'm blessed and highly favored. I'm the head and not the tail. I'm blessed going in and coming out. He is my shepherd. I don't have to want for nothing. Hallelujah. Glory to God. He is my keeper, my shield, and my buckler. See, if nobody tells you that, you got to learn how to tell yourself. I am who God says I am. Oh, you'll never amount to nothing. I've already amounted to something. I'm here. Come on, give him praise for that. So dynamic faith is faith that trusts in God. It trusts in his truth, his truth. It places his truth on top of what you're going through, what you've experienced. I know you have experienced brokenness. I know you have experienced rejection. I know you've experienced abandonment. I know you've experienced things that are just not fair and not just and not right. But here comes God's truth. His truth that is shown through our response. God, I don't know it. I don't see it, but I trust you. God, I don't know when it's coming to pass, but if you said it, it's coming to pass. God, I don't know how you're going to accomplish it, but you're the Almighty God. Hallelujah. So my response is praise in the midst of my trial. I may have a trial right now. I may not have everything that God said I'm going to have. I may not be living in. I remember living in a garage because after my dad left, we went po. Not poor. We couldn't afford the O and the R. We were po. I remember living in a garage with my mom, and I remember every single morning I would get up and get ready for school, and she would say, Timmy, you don't live in a garage. I thought the oil fumes had gotten to my mom. I'm like, but we live in a garage. No, you don't live in a garage. I said, Mom, we live in a garage. She said, no, you don't. She said, that's where you lay your head down. She said, you live where God says you live. Let this mind be in you that is in Christ Jesus. This is my stop, not my destiny. Oh, let me say that again. Because some of you are living in your stop, not your destiny. But your destiny is coming. Stay on the journey. Hallelujah. Learn what you need to learn in the spot. Hallelujah. And praise God in the spot that you're in. Because when you get to your destiny, your praise will be perfected. So dynamic faith is faith that trust in God's truth, his word, thy word have I hid in my heart. And it is shown through our response, our works. Yeah. I'm not saved by works, but I'm saved to do works. Yeah. All right? I'm not, I'm going to say it again since you said that. I'm not saved by works. I'm only saved by Jesus Christ. But I'm saved to do works. All right? So look at this. So it shows up in how I work, how I treat the waitress at the restaurant, how I treat my neighbor, how I show up to work and not be on Facebook all day, how I do the assignment that I've been called to do, how I treat my family, how I treat my kids, how I treat my wife. Shows up in our response, not just in, everybody can live saved at church, but can we live saved in the marketplace? Can we live saved when the food ain't cooked? I saw Pastor Tim so saved last night. They brought out his salad and the chicken wasn't right. He watched his wife eat her tender salmon. He watched me eat my tender chicken. And his chicken could put out an eye if he threw it at somebody. And he leaned over to the waitress and he says, I just want to tell you, so pastoral, God bless you. I just want to tell you that this chicken ain't right. Oh, sir, we'll make it again. No, I don't want you to have to do it. I was thinking like, man, make him take it back, man. I went to the hotel last night like, Lord, I got to get saved like 1 Timothy. Because 2 Timothy would have been like, yeah, take this back. Take it off my bill. I'm just trying to say. No, I'm just saying. He just pushed it to the side, those two pieces of chicken that were harder than a rock. And he ate as much as he could. So saved. Because we are called to show works in the midst of our circumstances, our issues. We have issues, but here comes Jesus. We have trials, but here comes Jesus. We have disappointments, but here comes Jesus. We have rejection, but here comes Jesus. We have stuff that's been lasting a long time, but here comes Jesus. We have prayer requests that have been made before God and ain't been answered yet on earth, but it's already been answered in the heavens. But here comes Jesus. And no greater story can help us realize that than the woman with the issue of blood. The Bible says, when you get a chance, read Mark 5. It's a really good story, but let me help you uncover some things. In Mark 5, it says, there was a certain woman. Now, I love how the Gospels define her, because this is what issues will do. The issues will strip you of your name. See, in the book of Nicodemus, which is a historical book, Nicodemus interviewed the woman and said, what is your name? And she said, Veronica. But in the Gospels, they defined her by her issue, a woman with an issue of blood. Many of you have gone through things and people have defined you by your issue. Oh, that's that sister that, you know, she used to be on that, or she used to be on that. Yeah, that's that brother that, you know, yeah, he a trip. Watch out. Girl, I don't know. He asked for your number. I don't know, girl. What? What's wrong with him? Man, he's called Knucklehead for a reason. The gospel says a woman with an issue of blood. She didn't just have an issue of blood. The Bible says that she had an issue of blood for 12 years. She was sick for 12 years. She was unclean for 12 years. Because in those days, if you had that kind of issue, you were listed or known as unclean. You couldn't just hang out with everybody. You only could hang out with the unclean folks. And if you found yourself in the congregation of clean folks, you had to announce, oh my gosh. You had to announce your issue. You had to say, unclean, unclean, so that those that were clean would not come in contact with you. Who? Can you imagine if we had to walk around today and before I touched you or came in contact with you, Kelly, I would go, unclean person coming, so that you could scatter? Oh my gosh. The enemy wants us to be identified and labeled by our issue so that he isolates us, puts us in depression, and makes us feel like life is not worth living. But I want to encourage you today, life is worth living because Jesus died that you might have life and that much more abundantly. She had an issue. The Bible says this in Mark 5. It says this. She not only had an issue, she had seen many physicians and got worse. She got worse going to the doctor. She not only got worse, the Bible says in Mark 5 that she spent everything that she had. So not only did she have an issue that was 12 years old, she was broke and she was getting worse. Say that again. She had an issue that had lasted for 12 years. She had went to many physicians and she had gotten worse going to them, and she had spent everything that she had. She was in a weakened state. I can imagine she was bent over through her weakness. I'm sure she didn't have the strength to say I'm unclean in a strong way. So can you imagine this woman bent over, weak, and with a voice that cracked would say, unclean. Unclean. She had nothing to lose. And the Bible says this. She made up in her mind. Today, I want you to make up in your mind. She made up in her mind, she said, when she heard about Jesus. Oh. I haven't experienced him yet, but I've been watching you, and through your life, I'm hearing about Jesus. I don't know him yet, but I know him through you because you're the only Bible that I've been reading, and that joy that you have, I want it. Ooh, I want that worship. I want that praise. I don't know him yet, but I heard about him through how you live. I heard about him through your testimony. Church, let's go tell a dying world about Jesus, because somebody needs to know him. She heard about Jesus. She heard about Jesus, and she made up in her mind. She says, I'm going to go see this Jesus. I'm not going to bother him. Look at this. She's so living in her issue. She says, I'm not going to bother him. I'm not going to disturb him. All I'm going to do is just reach to touch the hem of his garment. I'm not going to ask him for anything. I don't want to, interrupt what he's doing. I'm not trying to get any kind of special attention. I'm not asking for him to lay his hands on my head. I'm not asking him to speak to me. I'm not used to anybody speaking to me anyway. So I'm not looking for that. All I'm looking for is to grab the outer portion of his garment. I'm not going to touch him on the shoulder. I'm not going to grab him by the leg. I'm not going to say, have mercy on me. I'm just going to reach. And if I can do this without anybody noticing me, because remember, she's unclean. She's not supposed to be there. Oh, she's not supposed to be there. But she said, if I can just touch the hem of his garment. Look at this. She made up in her mind, I will be made whole. She didn't say, somebody told me I'll be made whole. But based on what I'm hearing, if I can get to him, I will be made whole. Yes. The Bible says in Mark 5 that there were so many people that they were around Jesus, pressing up against him to the point of suffocation. They were all around him. I don't know, Pastor Kelly and Pastor Tim, how she got to him. I don't know, without saying unclean. I don't know if all these people are around, how did she get to him? She somehow, since she was low, I'm sure she crawled through people's legs. She reached around somebody's arm. Somehow, some way, she got close enough to reach and touch the hem of his garment. And when she touched the hem of his garment, she was immediately made whole, to the point that Jesus even knew the authority that was in him had left him. Ooh, it's something about how we come to Jesus. It's something about how we worship him. It's something about how we bow before him. Because if I can touch you, Jesus, the right way, everything that's in you will be in me. She didn't want to interrupt him, but her touch interrupted him. Whew. Oh my goodness. He says, whew, somebody touched me. It confused the disciples that were all around him. It confused them because, watch this, they said, Jesus, there are people all around you. They're pressing up against you. What do you mean someone touched you? Everybody's touching you. We're trying to keep them back. They're pressing up against you. They want to be around you. What do you mean somebody touched you? He said, I'm not talking about that kind of touch. I'm not talking about just showing up to church. I'm talking about somebody that's on their knees seeking my face because they know that I am the God that is and I'm the God that rewards. Oh. I'm talking about the praise that says, God, if I can touch you, all my rejection will be gone. If I can touch you, all my abandonment will be gone. If I can touch you, I can be healed. I want to be healed. Say, I want to be healed. Oh, it might not be you, but it might be your son. It might be your daughter. It might be your marriage. It might be your business. Whatever it is, say, I want to be healed. Woo. Jesus says, someone touched me. Said, Jesus, there's a bunch of people around you. What do you mean someone touched you? He says, someone touched me because I felt the virtue, the healing power of God. The anointing that destroys yokes that come to tie you down. I felt it leave my body. And he begins to look around. I want you to see this. Because God's looking for they that will worship him in spirit and in truth. It's not about how you clap. It's about, are you serious? It's not about how well you can sing. It's, are you serious? It's not, you can be off key, but God says, that's the worship I want. You can clap off beat, but God says, that's the clap I want. Because it's not about how well you do it. God says, it's about your heart behind it. She's off to herself. Jesus sees her. He says, what have you done? She says, I believed in my heart that if I would touch you, I would be made whole. Watch what he says. He says, daughter. She went from being labeled as the woman that was with an issue. She came as the woman with an issue. She going home a daughter. You came today, maybe with your issues or maybe with that thing still on your shoulder or that problem. You came today, but you're going home a son. You're going home a daughter. You're going home whole. Why? Because yes, what you went through is your reality, but today from this point on, you're going to live in God's truth and God's reality. And God's truth says, I've set you free. And whom the Son sets free is free indeed. As I close, watch this, she says this, he says this to her. He says, daughter, your faith has made you whole. Your willingness to get out of your house and seek the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Your willingness to be tired of your issue. Your willingness that said, if I can touch the hem of his garment, I will be made whole. Your willingness to not care what you look like. Your willingness to not care what people say about you. But you just want Jesus. So can you stand to your feet with me? Stand to your feet. I'm looking for some willingness. Because today is your day. You're in the right place at the right time, getting ready to receive from the God that rewards everything that you've been longing for. But you have to make up in your mind how bad you want it. How bad do you want what he that rewards wants to give to you? How bad do you want what he that rewards gives to you? So this is what I want us to do. I want you to believe that he is. He exists. Well, how do you want me to believe that, Pastor Tim? By getting out of your seat and saying, I'm going to the altar. And then I want you to come to the altar knowing that he who exists is he who rewards. And I don't want you coming here thinking that you're going to leave the same way you came. I want you to come with your issues. I want you to come with your problems, come with everything. And I want you to see it this way, that I'm going to leave that altar a daughter. I'm going to leave that altar a son. I'm going to leave that altar with my marriage restored. I'm going to leave that altar with my health restored. I'm going to leave that altar knowing that I am a child of the King in the name of Jesus. So lift your hands straight up in the air. If there's music that can play or whatever, just hands straight up in the air. And as you feel that push in your back or that tug on your heart, I want you to allow that to lead you to the altar right now. I want you to believe that he is, and I want you to come, whether you bow, whether you lift your hands, but I want you to come from wherever you are. I don't know if you got to grab your wife, grab your husband. I don't know if you got to grab your kids, whoever's which. Look, we're going to the altar to be healed. I'm coming to Jesus. Because he is a rewarder of them that diligently, oh man, this is good. Oh, Jesus, look at Jesus. Jesus. Your dad may have left like my dad left. Praise God, my dad, before he passed away, our relationship was restored. God said, I can restore that relationship. Maybe you never knew him, but God said, I want you to know me. I'll be your dad. Maybe there's hurt from your parents or your mom. Maybe there's hurt from a broken relationship. God says, come to me, come. I want to heal you. Come on, begin to ask him to heal you. Begin to see yourself reaching for the hem of his garment. Begin to see yourself reaching for him, the one that restores, the one that heals, the one that delivers. Pastors, if you have ministers or teams that want to go and begin to just agree with you, we just want to agree with you. We just want to agree with you. Hallelujah. Because he is the God that exists. He is the God that rewards. He is the God that exists. He is the God that rewards. He is the God that exists. He is the God that rewards. Hallelujah. He is the God that exists. He is the God that rewards. Well, receive it. Oh, this is so good. the power of Jesus, the healing power of Jesus. Hallelujah. The healing power of Jesus. Receive it right now. Woo, hallelujah. Look what God's doing. Hallelujah. He's working a miracle. He's performing a miracle right now. Woo. Woo. This thing has been holding me down for too long. Today I give it to Jesus. Hey.
There is no rush to seek the Lord. To seek the Lord. To allow Him to fill you with anything that has been stolen away by life, by circumstance, by issues, by troubles, by choices, some we made, some others have made, that have impacted us or stolen things away. Today, God is restoring, healing, bringing new life where we thought places were dead. He's bringing life. He's bringing life. He is bringing life, restoring what we thought was lost. Jesus, thank you, Father. Lord, that our faith, the faith that we put in you and respond to, that you do exist, that you do reward those who earnestly seek after you, that God, that our faith will never be disappointed. Lord, you will bring healing and life and restoration. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. For all those online, I know that there are some that have just hung with us right through this time of prayer and ministry because you are reaching out to Jesus right where you are. And I'm gonna just ask for our church family, would you pray right now for all of those who are joining and saying, God, I need your touch. God, we pray, Lord, for your life to flow, Lord Jesus, to them right where they are in their homes, in their places of work, in their cars, Lord, wherever they are right now, God, that you administer your life to them as they reach out and grab a hold of the hem of your garment. Fill them with your life. Fill them with new purpose. In Jesus' name, grace, grace, grace. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Hey, any who are here that want to stay in God's presence, you are welcome to stay. Our Spanish service doesn't start for another 35 minutes, so we got time. We got time to hang out. And there are people right down here in the front that are here to minister. It would be awesome if you just want to come. If you have like a particular thing, you're like, I just need prayer for this. I want someone to agree with me for this need. I invite you to stay, and we're just going to hang out in the presence of the Lord. Church, you are loved. Go in peace.